Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm Deb Balico, and I'm here with Rebecca Pratt. And we, over the last few weeks, we've been discussing anxiety and depression because Rebecca's in the process of rewriting her book, From My Bed to My Destiny, which we will make sure you all know when that's available. But as she's rewriting this book and adding stories of real life experiences of her own, but then with the children that we serve, she also recently was listening to the book, The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing Trauma. It's by Vander Kolk. And I'll make sure I put it in the show notes in case you'd be curious. This is a book. I mean, I remember reading this book many years ago, but we were just sharing offline that it's fascinating. A lot of the practice that he recommends for people that have trauma and to bring healing from trauma, we are doing with our children. It's just that he does not touch on the spiritual component or touch on the love of Jesus, which we do have that very intertwined in everything that we do with our children. So anyway, Rebecca, I'd love to hear just kind of what your thoughts are.
Yeah, what I was excited about is he describes the different types of trauma, and there's numerous types. You know, obviously people coming back from a war or a physical accident or something like that. You know, we deal with children that are in huge trauma situations due to slavery. So they're beat, you know, they're sexually abused, they're starved. I mean, just horrific things in the physical realm of that. But, you know, he talked about death of a loved one and divorce and all these different things that can cause trauma, and how your body reacts to that trauma is, you know, very different with each person. But it was really educational to just revisit the effects of trauma. And, you know, these kids that come into our care in particular, since, we're very, I would say, experienced now, you know, over 20 years, I've been working in West Africa. Deb, you've been with us for how many years now, Deb? A long time.
It's going on 14 years.
Yes. So yeah. We hear the stories on a regular basis. We see the catatonic eyes of the children, especially coming into the orphanage safe home where we stay. And when those kids, when we get those kids, they are just lethargic. They are, you know, not only depressed, but they have no energy. They're like just completely wounded. And so our staff, what's amazing about our staff is that they obviously just begin to love these kids, but they're very gentle with each child. They know that, you know, they've been through extreme things. And I had talked about last week about getting to the root cause of the depression and anxiety, and then coming up with counteracting the lies that we've been listening to and coming up with our truth statements of whatever it is that we've been listening to the lies, we're counteracting that. What I loved is that this is what our staff is doing with these children, is they are doing these truth statements that the children can't do for themselves, in a sense, to rewire their brain or to stop the lies of the enemy to their minds. But the staff is, in a sense, stepping in and speaking those truth statements over the children's lives with hopes that the children will begin to receive it. Examples: you are loved. You are not forgotten. You are valuable. You are important. You're worthy of love. And they're speaking these things every single day to these children. And as the children get older, you know, they're building their own relationship with the Lord, and they start speaking these truth statements and reading scripture over their own life, which is another transformational thing. But what I loved is that what this book did, The Body Keeps the Score, is he was describing these trauma situations and how our body reacts to that and our mind reacts to that. And then that he would do brain scans on people with trauma, and how literally the brain chemistry was changed with trauma victims. A part of their brain did not function like it normally should. And he called it kind of like misfires, you know, it's not functioning properly. And so his quest in his research through the years, he spent a lifetime of researching trauma victims and healing remedies for trauma victims. And he had said that, you know, the biggest thing is trying to figure out how to get that part of the brain that has been wounded to be healed. And so there's lots of different type of therapies that he was mentioning. And he was even saying, you know, medicine, you know, we can give people medicine, but it's only a Band-Aid. And it's not that we don't prescribe medicine, because if they're suicidal or, you know, they're really bad in their depression or anxiety and they can't function normally in life, he said that, you know, it might be something that they have to be on for a little short time, but it's not the long-term solution. And then he talked about the things that they have tried that have had incredible results. And he said that it's basically getting your body to have the natural endorphins, which come through play, dance, drama, exercise, anything that gets your heart rate up in a happy form, sports, is what literally, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm going to say rewires the brain. He talks about it brings a part of the brain back, in a sense, to life. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's what we're doing with our children, you know, in Africa, is we are encouraging them to play. They don't ever feel like playing. They don't feel like singing, dancing and all that. But we bring them in. We bring, you know, their national drums in, and we have singing time, and they have times where they're just worshiping God. And we see throughout these different things that their little hearts begin to be healed. And it takes about a year till we see the resilience happen. One of the little boys that I've been writing about, From My Bed to My Destiny book. So I have a chapter on trauma that I'm working on right now. And this little boy came into the home. His mom and dad had died 6 months apart. Mom died 6 months later. Dad died. Then an uncle takes him in. And I'm calling him Habib. And Habib went to his uncle's house, and he said he was happy because he had cousins his same age at his uncle's house. And so he thought he's going to be able to play with his cousins and he would be okay there. As soon as he gets there, the uncle says, it's not playtime. You're going to work for your own keep. And, you know, basically, here's your chore list. And so he started to have to work. What he didn't realize was that he was going to be the slave of the home. So every day he was the only one that was cleaning the house, doing all the laundry by hand of the family. The cousins were doing no work. He was doing everyone's work. And he, at that time, was 8 years old. So you can imagine, I'm thinking of my 8-year-old grandchildren. And he said he had to work from morning till night. They had a little baby that he had to take care of as well, changing all the diapers, washing all the diapers, everything that, you know, takes care of a baby. And he said he would go to bed at night, and he was always the last to go to sleep because he had to finish all his chore list. He said he would cry himself to sleep, and he just couldn't figure out how his uncle could be so harsh and mean to him. His uncle also beat him every day, hardly gave him enough food. He said he thought he was going to die living at his uncle's house because he didn't think his little body could continue long term in the state that it was at. He had no shoes. You know, he'd have to do everything without much given to him to do his tasks even. So we had him brought to the orphanage safe home after about a year of him being in that uncle's home. There was a social welfare office worker that brought him into the home. And he was just telling me his story after we had had him maybe about 3 months. Just very, no emotion, just very matter of fact, but very confused at the same time, telling me the story. And at the end of the story, he said, you know, why do you think my uncle treated me so bad? Why do you think? And I just said, you know, I can't speak for your uncle, but I do have a question. I said, is your uncle someone who practices voodoo? And he said, yes, he practices a lot of voodoo every day. And I said, well, in that religious practice, I do know that they do not value children who are orphans because they believe that if the God allowed your parents to die, then the gods didn't care about you and left you as an orphan. And so you're considered not worthy of, basically, I mean, I'm paraphrasing this, but you're not worthy of love. You're not worthy of being valued. And you're the lowest rung of society. So I just told him, you know, in that religious practice, your life is not valuable as an orphan because they believe that the gods destined you to be an orphan and you don't have value. But I said, but the opposite is actually true. The God who created you out of love. And he wants to show you how much he loves you. And he wants to show you how valuable and important you are. And I am so sorry you had to go through this. But honestly, your uncle, he doesn't know any other way to live. This is how he grew up. This is all he knows. So he was just treating you in a way that he grew up treating people that are orphans. That's how he was taught. But it doesn't make it right. And I am so sorry. And he's like, okay, you know. And I said, but can I pray for your little heart? And he shook his head, yes. And so I put my hand on his little chest and I just prayed, you know, that God would heal his heart, that he would show him how much he loves him and that he would see his value through his true worth of how God's created him. And so then I dismissed him, you know, he ran off and ate dinner with all the other kids that were eating dinner. And about a year later, I come back and he looks bright-eyed. He's engaged with the kid, playing. He's happy. And I am like, this is the transformation that we see over and over and over when they begin to receive the love of Jesus, begin to understand the value that they have and that they're worthy of love. And then the physical. So what trauma does, and I loved this writer with The Body Keeps the Score. He talks about the brain, the mind, and the body and the healing and trauma. But it's not just the spirit part that we focus on. We really do have the encompassing. You've got to focus on the body and the mind, which is also the play and the worship that they do, the singing and the dancing. I mean, they dance. Boy, they dance. Mm-hmm. And the African dance. And that is what helps in the rewiring of the brain. And then spiritual part is we're coming in and we're silencing the lies of the enemy, telling them they're not worth loving and, you know, all of these things. And so that's the beautiful part that, you know, the part with this, the book is a secular book, The Body Keeps the Score. And his solution for the spirit part was yoga, you know, get in tune with your inner self. But even then, it wasn't 100%, you know, it wasn't. It was still a search of what really will fill the void and bring full healing to these different ones. And yet we have seen that, well, we know in the world sense, you can go to yoga, you can go to, the stretching and everything, I totally agree. I think the stretching is great. The yoga part where you go into the inner self and find yourself inside of you, you know, and the mystical part of all that is the part where it goes off in a different realm that is not, it's not healthy for us spiritually as believers in Jesus. But the Jesus part is the part, the spiritual part, where supernaturally Jesus comes in and he supernaturally comes in and he shows us how much he loves us. And then his spirit touches our spirit. And it brings us into this fullness and this wholeness. So, yeah, so it's very much a holistic situation. You know, I'm in total agreement with that. We can't just say, oh, read your Bible and you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, it makes me think of, I remember a story of one of the kids, part of our program, who saw his father murder his mother and then the family murdered the father for punishment, and extremely traumatic. The only way, you know, it took him a very long time, but what brought him out of that to even just be able to kind of function was music. And he began, it was worship music. And yes, he was guided by our staff and, you know, he had lots of support in many areas, but it was worship music and forming this, the concept of trusting in God the Father. And it was, so it was beautiful for me to hear him, like he now writes music and it's even like a kind of has like a rap music to it. And just this element of truth that he has spoken over himself and that this is his foundation and this is his identity. And it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, the creative part of the brain needs to be reignited, is doctor was saying. And, you know, for our own life, I was like, you know, obviously I've been through some trauma stuff in my own life. And the last thing you want to do when you're walking through trauma is to be creative, is to dance, is to exercise, is to play, is to sing. And yet, if we can push ourselves to do those things, then we literally are helping our brain to heal. Now, for me, you know, I love worship music. And so forcing myself to listen to the worship music and then to sing along with the worship music that's worshiping the Lord, you know, and so I'm focusing on the Lord and not myself. I'm getting my mind off myself. And then aerobics. Deb knows I love aerobics. So when I go to Africa, I do aerobics with the kids.
That brings me a lot of joy seeing Rebecca do 1980s aerobics with the children.
Oh, yeah. I got lots of laughs and I forbid anybody to grab any phone to video me because, you know, that's kind of scary. But, you know, you never really in trauma feel like doing those things. But it is, this was a good reminder that these things are very important to pull us out of those deep despair moments even. You know, we all go through, I think, some little bit of depressive things, you know, that hit us sometimes. You know, one of our coworkers, they just lost their brother on Monday. Suddenly, they think it was appendicitis that wasn't treated maybe properly or in time, and he just suddenly died. And that's traumatic. Like, our staff member is going through some trauma with that. And yet, with all of these different traumatic things, we have to remind ourselves not to go into the deep hole. There's a time to grieve, absolutely. But to try to pull ourselves out to just maybe just worship through it, you know, put on some worship music and just do that. And for me, it's also like before I go to bed, I try to put YouTube prayers on if I'm feeling down that evening. And I try to pray myself. But if I don't have the words to say because of whatever sadness or whatever heavy heart I have, then I go to YouTube and I put in night Christian prayers and I just listen. And I just agree with those prayers. And, you know, so whatever it takes to kind of get yourself out of these places where you feel like you're kind of going into this hole of
kind of a dark, dark, sadness. Like you're stuck. You're stuck.
Yeah.
I remember there being a real dark season for me in my life. And the only thing I could do was color. Like reading the Bible was a little discouraging. Worship music wasn't doing it for me. So I literally got a child's coloring book. And I just remember sitting there just coloring in this coloring book and did choose like a Bible, kids Bible. Like I was just sitting there coloring a picture of Noah with the boat. You know, I don't know. There was something about it that made me feel like this is what I can bring to God right now. This is how raw I feel. And yet I still believe he fulfills his promises. Like I still believe he's real. And I'm going to color this little happy picture of Noah and the ark, you know. So yeah, it is. And even with, we had a team come to West Africa who brought like an art therapy class, kind of, they tried, like, because our kids didn't necessarily have exposure to art. And so they just had the freedom to paint kind of what they saw, or, and some of it was really beautiful and amazing and like very talented. And some of it was, you know, you kind of had to ask some questions of, well, what is that picture? Let's talk about that, you know? And, but it was just an outlet for them to express themselves.
Yeah. So to paraphrase it is, if we want the happy hormones, then we're going to get our heart rate up a bit, and whatever it takes to do that with exercising, playing sports, and then the creativity, talked about drama and creativity part, and the art, you know, like you said, painting does stimulate the part of the brain that's the creativity part that, I guess, I don't really know the medical part of the whys, but it takes our mind off of our, I guess, our trauma and our sadness, and it puts focus on something else. But that creativity is a different part of our brain that literally helps to, in a sense, rewire that trauma part of our brain. And so, yeah, so it was just good reminders. But I thought, okay, I'm going to do a lot more aerobics, Deb, just FYI, especially with our children in Africa.
Can't wait.
Yeah. You know, I have to pull myself because you're so exhausted at the end of the day. And these kids are too cute. And they're like, exercise, exercise. They can say that in English, you know, exercise. Oh, sport. That's what they say. Come do sport, sport, sport. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Rebecca's sport of choice is 1980 aerobics.
So the sport comes with my tennis shoes and my little phone with my dance music. And yeah, it is quite fun. And it is, I have all these little kids.
And they join you, and then we're all laughing. You know, yeah, everyone's laughing.
Yeah. Yep. So it is definitely the happy hormone for more ways than one.
Sure.
Not just the cardiovascular, but that one is emotional as well. But yeah, it's beautiful. So I'm encouraged to do more aerobics personally, do more aerobics with our children in Africa. And, you know, my kids here, I have one of my granddaughters, she was yesterday showing me a dance that she's going to be performing tomorrow at her school. And I literally looked at her and I said, did you know that this is helping to rewire your brain and make you happy? She goes, yes, I'm very happy when I dance. And I was like, yeah, that's very clinically proven, you know. But yeah, encourage your kids to be creative with their life. And, you know, so many kids are getting stuck just on their phones and, you know, digital stuff. You know, at our fingertips, we have entertainment at our fingertips, but we're missing that stimulating the part of our brain that brings joy and everything. And, you know, this goes into how God's created us to be. And he made us to connect with him, and he made us to connect in a healthy way with our environment around us. And part of that is, yeah, being in line with how he's created our bodies to function in a healthy way. And so it's been good, good reminders.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you for joining us this week. And we look forward to next week. Please email us if you have any questions or anything you'd like to know more about with Orphan Relief and Rescue. You can email info@orphanreliefandrescue.org. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.